Tony Sanchez has, and I actually can pronounce that, Tony. He is in studio with us.
We think he can. Yeah. We're working on it.
Well, you never know. Can I even say my own name right? Jason? Yeah, I got that one right. Charlie? Okay, I'm good. Tony Sanchez, he's going to be running or is running for Colorado State Senate District 22. Welcome back to Grassroots Radio.
Thanks for having me. I'm really looking forward
to it. I get to tell a little story because I was the first person to actually meet
I was going to ask him where Senate District 22
okay,
was.
Go ahead and tell everybody the boundaries of Senate District
22. Sure. Senate District 22 is over by, you got 470, Chatfield on the bottom, Sims going up on the left side, Wadsworth going up, and it breaks over to Sheridan on Yale, going straight up all the way to Colfax, and it includes Edgewater.
Okay. So basically the
Lakewood,
most southwest kind of quadrant of Denver.
Correct.
Just past. And you and I met, I'm thinking this was just about 2 years ago.
Correct.
Pretty close. It was at the Liberty on the Rocks Christmas party.
Yeah.
And we were talking because you moved here from San Francisco.
Correct. The belly of the beast.
Yeah. So you it's funny because, and I'm going to jump on this. You don't have to. You want to focus on your message. I'm stunned that your opponent in the primary would actually jump on that and say something bad, because this is somebody who actually saw the crap that happened in California.
Yes, firsthand.
And came here and said, I want out. I want to go somewhere better. And now you're running because you see the crap happening here.
Correct. I thought I left the nightmare, and it's over here. It started the same way we're seeing it at the last legislative session, the same exact way. And that's how it started in California, particularly San Francisco.
Yeah, we've had you on the air before talking about some of the crazy stuff you saw in San Francisco, that you were right in Nancy Pelosi's congressional district.
Yes, and when Republicans there would meet under cover of night. You don't publicize you're a Republican
like
there.
Like Christians in China?
Yes. And at night, and there's no signs up, and then you just sort of sneak in there somewhere. That's exactly how it is over there.
Well, so you're running for Senate District 22.
Correct.
What's your platform? Why are you running?
Well, I understand that people are very discouraged, and let's just be honest, people are pretty angry with what they've been seeing, and I basically believe in limited government, too much government. The other problem is that there's so many decisions being made without the input from the community level, and I also believe that there's a lack of leadership, principled leadership. And I believe that it's really important to stand for something, because if you don't stand for something, you don't stand for anything. So that's what's really motivated me.
Well, let me and we mentioned this off the air. You were at a Senate district meeting or a House district meeting in that area, and you had and there were Republicans complaining about the Libertarians, and you and I agree on one thing. You know what? Don't blame them.
Exactly.
Go out and find a better message.
Yes.
Figure out how to talk to those people, because if the Republican Party does not figure out a way to become more freedom-centered, more liberty-centered, and more individual citizen-centered, guess what? We're going to have Party A and Party 1A. And that's it.
Well, if you remember last year, I was also putting that rally together that brought libertarians and Tea Partiers and social conservatives and the GOP together at the Capitol. And it really is about bringing coalitions together and standing with people as opposed to standing opposed. And that's what the kind of message I really want to bring to people together.
Well, Tony, I've seen you around. I go to a lot of events. You're always there. So tell people about the kind of activism you've been involved in, some of the organizations that you've helped promote, and give people an idea of your background, why they should be interested in your campaign.
Well, I'll tell a little bit about my background, my family, and then get into Colorado. My father's side's from Mexico. My mother's side's from El Salvador. And the other part that motivated me, which I didn't mention, was my grandmother, and it was her love for America. She went from selling pineapples, and this is in Central America, to at the market and cleaning floors, and she wanted to come here to America because she wanted freedom. She wanted the American dream. And, you know, she didn't tell me this story until I was 20 years old in Washington, where my aunt was the first lieutenant at the Pentagon. And I was like, what? This is where we came from? And well, I mean, it's not like we were still struggling, but she was telling me this with tears in her eyes. And she says, now I've got my grandson taking me to the greatest country. And it was through her example, her entrepreneurship, her love for working together with other communities. I mean, she was all about talk. I mean, sorry, all about do, excuse me. It was about do, not talk. I mean, she put her words into action, and so that's something I really admired in her, and had a profound impact in me, and that's what I want to see in our communities.
Well, and that's one thing that I'm constantly preaching on Grassroots Radio, is that the brilliance of the Constitution, the brilliance of the United States of America, is that it matters not what station into life to which you were born. It only because no matter what, anybody, anywhere can become anything if they are willing to work hard enough. Your Correct. Family is a perfect example of that.
Yes, and that's and then when I came here, you know, as I told a few months back, a while back, I left everything because of I saw what was going on here in Colorado, and I said, well, something's got to be done. This is the most freedom-loving state in America, and I wanted to raise my family here, and. Bring everything here, and I got involved. I got elected as a state delegate, and I got involved with bringing in the Hispanic community in particular, because I said that was going to be the key, at least at this point, to bring this community in there, but not necessarily compromise our principles. I thought, no, we have a great message of freedom and liberty to extend to this community, and I thought, well, what better way at this point than to run for office and bring it to people.
What I do have a suggestion for the Republican Party. I know Ryan Call listens and hangs on my every word, so I'm sure he's going to get this message. Yes, Ryan, I still like you as a person, just not necessarily the state chair. Here's what you need to do. When you talk about getting Hispanic involvement, when you talk about getting Asian American involvement, you don't go out and pander to people.
Exactly.
What you do is when you're putting together a platform, when you're talking about what you want, what kind of bills you want to run, why don't you go out to the Hispanic business owners in the community and say, hey, you know what? We're having a meeting. We'd like you to come.
Yes.
To the guy who runs the rec center in a Hispanic part of town. Say, hey, you know what could be done better to help kids in this area? And we don't mean spending money. We mean, is there something we could do to just improve things in the community?
And that's what I've done in Senate District 22. I've gone to the nonprofits. I've gone to the religious organizations, you name it. Wherever there was a community, before I made my decision, I went to these groups and to hear what they had to say, to hear what their concerns were. And this was a point of seeing what I can do for them. And I think you're right. I mean, the GOP is doing the best it can do, but I think myself individually, I'm going to do whatever I can do because, like I said, there are people who are very discouraged. They're very upset, and it's going to require standing for something, and I'm just going to have to do what I can.
Tony, you're a very charitable person. The Republican Party is not doing the best it can do. The Republican Party is still campaigning like it's 1992. The Republican Party has to move forward. Yes. They actually have to get innovative. They have to go outside the box. I can use 19,000 business phrases to explain why we're getting our I almost used a bad word. Why we're getting our butts handed to us on a regular basis.
Correct.
Yeah, 1982. Yeah, better. It is a changing demographic. And I was listening, I don't know if you ever have a chance to listen to Andrew Wilkow. One of the things he's talking about is the college Republicans came out with this, here's the things that are going on, here's why we're losing. And it isn't that you have to pander to people, it's that you have to change the way you talk about the things. It's that you have to actually inform people. One of the saddest things out there is that people 18 to 26 have an opinion on everything, but it's how they feel. I could give a crap what you feel. What I want to know is what you know. And do you know what you're talking about? Because if you don't, we should sit down and have a serious conversation so that maybe you will know what's actually going on. I mean, 18 to 26, they love Obama. What's the unemployment rate for people 18 to 26 right now?
It's ridiculous.
And yeah. What's the unemployment rate in the Hispanic community for kids 18 to 26?
Right. It's
unimaginable.
It's unimaginable. And it's a community that's suffering in a big way. And like you said, we need to take this message and be genuine and be honest, and instead of saying what we don't stand for, saying what we do stand for. Be the party of we can do this. This is what we can do. There's sometimes people say, I remember, and this is just an interjection, but one time somebody said, the Republican Party used to do a lot of great things, and it doesn't do it anymore. I think we have to really look at who we are now, as opposed to not hyphenated Americans, but Americans.
That's good. We're back Monday afternoon. Oh, thankfully it's coming to a close. I really don't like Mondays.
You know, I gotta tell you, this was one of those Mondays where if you had the misfortune of crossing my path today, just feel fortunate that nothing bad happened.
We'll leave it at that. I'm really thinking it really would have been one of those days to just look at the alarm clock in the morning and go, never mind. I'm just going back to bed.
I'll tell you what, the phone started ringing, the text messages started, the emails were going ballistic. can't say that it was a bad day. I just didn't really have my act together. I forgot my power cord. I mean, you name it. I was doing everything wrong.
Well, let's talk with our guest here. We have Tony Sanchez, who is running for Colorado State Senate District 22. You can find him on his website, tonyforcolorado.org.
.com.
Oh, I'm actually on .org for some reason.
I'm actually on tonyforcolorado.org.
Yeah, you must either have or. You'll find me either way.
You got both. No, you're the smart man. Get them both.
So I wanted to talk to you about this past session because, as you know, I spent a lot of time down there. And, you know, it was really unsettling. And I know how hard people have to work to get elected to the Senate or the House, whichever the case may be. You know, these people really put their heart and soul into this. And 2014 hopefully will be a year that we can start repealing these things. So I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, Tony, and I'm going to ask you, what would be your number one priority as far as legislation that you would like to see either enacted or repealed? Go.
Well, number one would be any of those Second Amendment bills. I tell you, we need to be quite clear on the Second Amendment. That's number one. I would say that all that. Get rid of it all. I stand pretty strongly on that.
When I'm looking at your positions, you like school choice?
Yes, school choice too. That'd be another one, in particularly for Jeffco, because that's a message that is resounding, particularly in the Hispanic community. 75% approve of it there in Jeffco, and that's going to be an issue that I think I'm going to.
Somebody better let Leslie Dahlkemper know that, and Cindy Stevenson.
Issue I'm going to be championing for sure. And religious liberty as well. That's something I think is important to keep in mind with the Affordable Care Act.
No, I got a question. You said religious liberty. What the hell's religious liberty got to do with civil unions? You don't have religious liberty anymore in the state of Colorado. You are a second-class citizen if you have religious beliefs. You are. You are second class.
Well, you see, you got to, like I said, we got to think of other, and I always sum this up when I say that issue. I say, you can't make things fair for one group if it's not fair for everybody. And I myself, although I stand for traditional marriage, this is not about this community and that community. This is really about, are some laws, are we going to allow other organizations or businesses to be able to be free, have their own conscience, and I think it plays out there. It also plays out in the Affordable Care Act as well, and that's a big issue for a lot of people in the community, and it's an issue for me as well. At least to bring up.
And so when you bring up the Affordable Care Act, we've got these wonderful things we call healthcare exchanges in the state of Colorado. Are you familiar with those?
A little bit, but not so much though. But like I said, I believe in being consistent and as far as standing up for liberty and making sure we can express ourselves, believe who we are.
Well, and one of the things I think in your district, and yes, I'm becoming suddenly campaign advisor, but one of the things in your district that you're going to be able to hit, and you'll have plenty of opportunity, is this anywhere from $800 million to $2.1 billion tax increase that that, by the way, and I would make this very clear to every person
That's
you're talking
right.
to, that the Democrats and Hickenlooper are running on the ballot this year. There's nobody else is running that. There's nobody else. It's
out of control. It is completely out of control. And like I said in my press release, it's a lack of sanity. You see, what happened here is what we saw in California. And this is the first taste of California that Colorado has seen. And that's why it really upsets me, because what they did in California, there were a couple things that brought what we're seeing now, is that they started passing legislation, and then they say, ram it through and sue and deal with it later. That was how the tactic of the left in California, go ahead.
Well, no, one of the things, I won't disagree with you, because the whole reason they started ramming these tax increases through in California was, the retirement programs for public workers in California. We all heard the stories of all these different municipal districts.
But Jason, we don't have that problem here.
What was that one guy making? Something like $480,000 retirement? How do you let that happen? Well, guess what? I believe the top paid people in Para are making somewhere in the $200,000 range. Now, I'm sorry, but if you've made $200,000, $250,000 in your career as a public employee, first off, slap yourself, because you should. That's as lucky as you can possibly get. But then to retire and think you're going to be able to get 80% of that, and the state taxpayers are going to foot the bill while you're sitting back drinking a Mai Tai, smoking a cigar? No, that's not how it works. You can retire on a fair, retirement fund, which hopefully you contributed to yourself. But for them to run this bill, and it is the Democrats and it is the Public Employees Retirement Association, the parasites, they are trying to suck off everybody in Colorado and the Hispanic community, everybody in Lakewood. It doesn't matter what community it is.
Yeah.
You're right. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
They're going to pay the bill. They're going to pay the freight.
The bill.
And education ain't going to get better.
And it's not over. And so right now, it's really hard to say what we'll be talking about, what we'll be dealing with a year from now. So there's a lot of other issues that we'll probably be touching upon as we go along. And we need people there who are really vigilant and make sure that they are aware, put the community and the taxpayer first.
Well, you know, it is very interesting. 2014 is going to be a curious year for the state of Colorado. And I use the term curious because it is my belief that we've basically got one more shot. We have got one more shot to stop the Californication of Colorado. We really do. And 2014 is it. Now, we've got some major issues in front of us. We've got some major stumbling blocks. That does not mean we can't pull this off. And what I'm talking about specifically is that same-day voter bill with all the mail-in ballots. Oh, yeah, Tony, you're already rolling your eyes.
Yes.
But we've got a shot, and we have to pull this thing back. And I don't know where the hell Gessler is. I don't know why he isn't filing a suit to stop this. I don't know why he's not standing up at the steps of the Capitol just letting people know that he will not enforce that law and come arrest him. That's what I think he should do. But if we can pull back 2014, it's going to take you, Tony. It's going to take everybody that's in there running for re-election. We've got to knock off a ton of Democrats, Marxists, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to do it.
That's right.
It's not a ton. 5-3-1.
5-3-1. Well,
it ain't that hard. 5-3-1.
Five members House of the House, three members of the Senate, one governor. That's what we have to do. We've got them targeted. We know the races that we have to win, but we absolutely have to win those races.
Correct. And one thing is just what you were saying, it made me think about this. Back when Bush was president, Fidel Castro said something, you know, I never got a good night's sleep while he was president. And now I feel like we're the other way around, where good people are now worried about their future. And that's something wrong nowadays.
Well, I haven't had a good night's sleep since this wingnut was elected.
Exactly. And so this is why we have to do something about this now and be quite vocal about where we stand and quite clear. And on my website, you can see where I stand on the issues at tonyforcolorado.com. And I'm quite transparent. And that's all I got to say.
Tony, I want to jump a little bit because here you're going to be a local candidate. I'm going to hit you guys with a story, and we'll discuss it in the next segment. I'm throwing you a curveball, but I know you, so I'm not too worried about it. This comes out of the Boulder Daily Camera today.
Are you sure you want to read that?
I want to read this because I think this is a great example of government overreach. Boulder woman disturbed by police policy to enter unsecured residences by Joe Rubino. Boulder residents who intentionally leave their doors open. Unlocked, not open, may unintentionally be inviting a Boulder police officer in for a visit. Chrissy Smiley learned this fact in surprising fashion Thursday afternoon when she returned to her South Boulder condo after a 40-minute walk with her dogs to find a card from a Boulder police officer sitting on her dining room table. Disturbed by the discovery, Smiley said she quickly called the officer back to ask why he had entered
her home without permission. You got to stop real quick because you should see the look on Tony's face right now.
Hold on, let me get the whole story out. When we come back from the break, I want to jump into this when we come back, but I want everybody to hear this. He was very nice. He said he had come back to follow up on another officer who had been there for something and felt he had probable cause to make sure that I was safe, Smiley said, adding that she found the officer's explanation unsettling. I have nothing to hide. My house is really clean. There are no bongs laying around, only in Boulder. It's just creepy that someone would come in
now
when I'm not
statewide
there.
Statewide now.
Smiley, a Boulder resident for 28 years, said she routinely leaves her sliding glass door open when she leaves the house for short amounts of time. To access this, a person must open a latch and gate, go up some stairs to reach an elevated deck where the door is located. So it's not like here's an open door that opens to the back of an alley. This is an open door up on a porch behind a fence.
No, this guy really had, I read that story earlier today, this guy really had to work to get in there to go find that open door. I mean, that was absolutely amazing.
This isn't even her front door. Smiley said she never uses her front door, which also opens onto the deck, but the entrance to her condo is always locked. Said the sliding glass door does not have a screen that can be closed when the main door is open. To access the dining room, Smiley said the officer would have had to enter through the door and walk all the way through the kitchen. Quote, maybe it is uncommon to leave your door open, but whatever, it doesn't invite them in, she said. On the off chance that I am being murdered or held hostage, I'd rather take my chances with that. Well, maybe not in Colorado so much because you can't be. Oh, wait, never mind.
Well, we still do have the Make My Day law. And you know
I
what?
I would rather
I'm
take my chances.
They didn't repeal
here's,
that.
Here's a woman. Listen to this. This just tells you how creepy this is. I'd rather take my chances with being murdered or held hostage than to know that a cop can just come in my house if the door is open. Now, here's the better part. There are many reasons for checking residences that are left open, Everett wrote in his response. They include in-progress crimes and injured parties inside. There are situations in which create a duty for officers to enter and check residences. Failure to do so creates a liability for that officer and agency. End quote. Liar. I'm sorry. Liar.